But no, it's good to come into the house of the Lord and come and have a men's meeting and to have breakfast together and fellowship together. So let's all lift up our hands and just thank the Lord for today and thank the Lord for our families. And Father, we just thank you today for our nation. Lord, we just lift up holy hands in this place. Lord, we thank you that we're growing, we're increasing, we're developing more and more, Father, into men of God and into developing the ways of God. Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, the greater one, who's the greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So, Lord, we just thank you today. We bless you. Lord, we just pray for just a right now word for each one of us, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that we'd leave this place, Father, with new assignments, wisdom, Father, whatever we need, we'll not leave the same way that we came, but Father, we'll have a fresh grace, a fresh word from heaven. So Lord, we thank you today in the mighty name of Jesus, and all the men said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, just reach out to somebody around you. Just give them a big high five in Jesus' name. Say, God loves you. I love you. God's got more in store for you. Praise the Lord. All right. You can be seated. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this new year, 2025. The year is here, and I don't know that it could come any faster, but I was hoping, I don't know, November the 5th could come a lot faster, and so I'm just really excited about this new year, and I believe that God has given our nation a reprieve, and that, you know, darkness has been pushed back. There's still battles to fight and things to do, But, you know, I think it's a great time when you see a championship win, let's put it that way, for light and for the Lord, that you ask yourself the question, okay, where do we go from here? As the men of God, as the body of Christ, you know, where do we go from here? And I don't know what you guys do, you know, at the beginning of each year. I mean, God lives in eternity, but we dwell in time. And I always think that, you know, January is always a good time to do a reset, kind of look at, have a reflective on the past, but also kind of an anticipation, an expectation of what God wants to happen in the new year. You know, for the last 2 years of my life, I've had two prevailing thoughts that just kind of, they just keep coming and coming and coming back to me. You know, I just turned, in November, I turned 60, and that's what my kids said, but I don't, you know, I'm still trying to wake up to the fact. But, you know, but what I've been conscious of, number one, this thought just keeps ringing over and over, and that is, hey, For the last stretch, the last season of my life, how can I bear the most fruit? How can I bear more fruit in this season than any other previous season of my life? You know, and that's what Jesus expects, right? That's what Jesus wants us to do. He said, I sent you to bear fruit, okay? And just like Ed Cole was saying, one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to have to give an account. Okay, what did you do with the mandate? What did you do with the assignments? You know, what did you do for me? You know, and so I guess now in this season of my life, I'm more aware. Hey, I wanna do everything I can possible to reach more people, to win more souls. Come on now, to stand up and to be the man of God that God's called me to do, or be and. And so I want to bear more fruit. How many of y'all want to bear more fruit? Okay. Yeah, you want to be more productive in this time of your life. So in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes there to the church, and he says, walk circumspectly. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. So he's teaching them how to walk. He says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I want you to notice that phrase, redeeming the time. So he says, I want you to walk this way. I want you to walk being aware of the time. I want you to walk and make the best use of your time. You know, use your time wisely, okay? And so that was Paul's instructions there to the church. And he says, don't walk like foolish people, okay? You know, but walk with circumspect, walk, you know, knowing the time, redeeming the time, making the best use of your time. Now I want you to look at Luke chapter 5, if you would. Luke chapter 5. Let's go there if you have your Bibles. So with that thought, I'm going to kind of shift over to another passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 5. And I'm just going to begin reading in verse number 1. And so it says, and so it was as the multitudes passed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking, so they called for their partners in the other boat, and they came and helped them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And Simon, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Far be it from me, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. You know, tremendous story. How many of y'all love to fish? All right. How many of y'all had a fish story like this? Anybody? I always wanted to have a fish story like this, okay? So I love to fish, but I don't get to fish too often. However, the last time I went fishing, I had the best fishing trip ever. So, you know, for years I was like, Lord, you know, why can't I read stories like this, why can't I? And you hear fishermen tell their stories, right? All right, how big that fish was, and their partners, yeah, it was like this, you know. But so about 2.5 years ago, I got a chance to go on a fishing trip, and these two other guys, they're diehard fish. I mean, they actually fish every week. One's like a professional. So they said, hey, we'll take you out. So we went to South Carolina, and they rented a boat. There's a captain, and so we're going to go out about an hour and a half, you know. Well, it was storming. It was a thunderstorm. It was raining cats and dogs, and we get there, and it's just like, it's raining so hard that you couldn't even open your eyes, all right, because the rain is just hitting you in the face. And I still had a cap on. I mean, but it's just coming down so hard. So the captain says, you know, we're not going to go out today. It's too rough. All right, once you get out there, it's way too rough. All right, and the swells and everything. He says, but I tell you what, we'll go 15 minutes away. You'll still be able to see the land. And so he took us to this little channel. We got in the channel, and there was sun on one side and then rain on the other. All right, so he says, watch this. So he turns the boat, okay, and he says, we're going to go right down the middle. So we had sun on one side and then rain on the other. I mean, pouring down rain. And when we made that turn, all of a sudden the fish began to jump out of the water. I mean, that captain knew what he was doing, and fish were jumping into our boat. All right, so many fish were getting caught on our lines because we got a huge school of fish, we started laughing hysterically, okay, because we could not reel the fish in quick enough, all right, and we're getting 2-3 on a line. I mean, it was absolutely crazy, all right, plus the rain is just hitting us in the face, and we're just like, you know, we're falling down. You know, I mean, we couldn't even stand up in the boat because the boat was so slippery from all the water. I mean, it was one of the funnest moments of my life. Okay, and so we had to stop at 85 fish. Okay, in about an hour and 15 minutes, and so it was great because, you know, we went out at like 7:30. And came back by 9:30. So it was like, wow, we just had a great fishing day. So the captain called our team, the three of us, the next morning, and he said, I just found out that the three of you, that you set a record for the most number of fish in that channel in a given hour and 15 minutes. So anyway, that's my fishing story. And guess what? I've never been fishing again. So let's talk about some things. You know, I love Peter's response. You know, we see these guys, they were professionals. And the story goes that they had been out all night and toiled. And then they came back and they had caught nothing. And then Jesus shows up and Jesus says, as they're cleaning their nets, right, as they're cleaning up, he says, okay, I want you to launch out and throw your nets over there on the side. And, you know, they could have said, you know, hey, listen, we've been there, we've done that. Listen, we've been out there all night. And Peter admitted, yeah, we did that, but we've toiled, we haven't caught anything. But I love Peter's response. He says, Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. When I look back at my life, I see times in my life where the word of the Lord came to me saying, the word of the Lord came to me. Yes. And when that word came to me, it set me on a course, or it changed the direction, or it gave me the wisdom that I needed. You know, just think about that phrase, at your word. At your word, I will do it. I believe that God is looking for men who are men of their own word, but also men of the word. Right? All right. I mean, you're looking at a culture today that they don't know right from wrong. They don't know, you know, nonsense from, you know, whatever. It's foolishness. There's so many things they can't even tell you how many genders there are. I mean, you know, my wife was a school teacher, and, you know, and these kids were, you know, dressing up like cats. All right. And having whiskers and a tail, you know, walking down the hallway, and they're going, meow, 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 meow. And when the teacher would ask them a question, they go, oh, meow. I mean, like, it's been, what, craziness, what has taken place. I never thought this nation or the world could go this bad, right? I mean, whoever thought? So it's time for the men, true men of God, right, to rise up. I see some men of God rising up in this day. And we're on the brink of the greatest move of the Spirit of God. And I believe that God wants us as the men to lead the way. All right? Yeah, the move of God that's coming is for this new generation. But let's not sit back and just watch. Let's be a part of what God's about to do. And so So I just want to share with you a couple things about at the Word of God. The times in my own life where the Word of the Lord came to me saying, you know, we see that phrase over and over in the Word of God. You know, some of you know I was 22 years of age. I was a professional tennis player, and I had a dream. And I was one day away from leaving for Europe for months to fulfill that dream. And that dream temporarily got interrupted. You know, I found myself laying in a hospital bed, and the doctors thought I had a kidney stone or appendicitis. But after days of testing, the doctors walked in and said, "Young man, we're sorry. You have the fastest growing cancer in the world. And this cancer is incurable, it's terminal, and you have 2 weeks or less to live." Well, that wasn't on my radar screen. And so I was admitted to this hospital. The cancer was growing by the hour. I was watching my body, a tumor grow from the size of a golf ball to the size of a basketball in 72 hours. My kidneys stopped working. Other organs were stopped working. So I remember calling on the name of the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know, if you'll heal me, if you'll get me out of this situation, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. You know, I surrender. I surrender my life to you completely." Okay. And so at that moment, everything in the room changed. It was as if Jesus walked into my room, and I heard the word of the Lord. And that's what I needed. I heard of the word of the Lord saying to me, "Brian, this sickness is not unto death. You'll go through the fire, but not be burned. You'll walk through some deep waters. You're going to go through some things, okay? But they're not going to overwhelm you. And you'll come out on the other side, and as you do the steps that I tell you to take, then your healing will manifest." You know, from that point on, it didn't matter. As I lay in that hospital, it didn't matter what the doctor said. Didn't matter what things looked like. Didn't matter how my body felt. All right? Because why? Because the word of the Lord came to me saying. The word of the Lord came to me saying. I remember a number of years ago, my daughter Emily, in middle school, you know, the kids don't treat each other, especially the girls, all right? They're kind of mean, and lots of drama, right? Anybody have middle school girls? Okay. And so she went to two tough years of the girls treating her bad and bullying. You know, bullying is a big issue. And so she would come home. She's like, "Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to school. Those girls are so mean." And, you know, and she thought she had certain friends, and then those girls turned on her, and, you know, and so there's hurt feelings. And so we had been praying for her and just kind of encouraging her. And then it comes to August, all right, just before her sophomore year, and she's already starting to think about, the school year is coming up. So we're in our kitchen. She starts to have this meltdown. "I don't want to go to school. I don't know." All right. Okay. And she is crying her eyeballs out, having a meltdown. All right. And so my wife and I, we gather around her and we start praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. And we're trying to say a few words, encourage her. And she's just like, you know, she's just not having it. She's just not having it. I mean, she's just so, because she doesn't want to go back into that same place. And so we're praying in the Holy Ghost, and my wife says, I have heard the word from the Lord. And at that moment, we stopped. And my wife began to prophesy. My wife says, "Emily, this is the word of the Lord for you for right now. In the next 30 days, your life is going to change dramatically. And everything that you're feeling now, months from now, you will never feel ever again. So in 30 days, your life is going to radically change. Do you understand that? And my wife was like, do you understand that? This is the word of the Lord. And that word was strong. I mean, I stood back and said, wow, that's pretty good. 30 days? That's a pretty good word, right? You know, I'll take that word, you know. So little did we know what was going to happen. And so a couple days later, she said, she was on the internet. She was looking at clothes, okay? So she saw this pair of shorts, jean shorts, that's all, you know, holes in it and studs and, you know, jewels and all this stuff, you know. So she says to her mother, hey, Mom, can I buy these pairs of shorts, you know? Well, my wife goes over and looks at it and says, well, how much are they? She says, oh, well, they're $70 on sale. Yeah, shorts with holes, right? Yeah, you know, faded and bleached and all this stuff. And my wife says, no, $70 for that, you know. And my wife says, for that much, you could make your own. Ding. Ding. So she says, Mom, can you take me to the store? I want to go to Michael's. I want to go to this place. I want to go to that place. All right. So she went to Walmart. She bought like dozens of pairs of jeans, all this stuff. Okay. And bleach and dye and scissors to make holes. I mean, so she went out on her back deck and she was playing around. I mean, she was cutting it. So she's out there. She's determined she's going to make herself a pair of them shorts, okay? And guess what? After, you know, trial and error, she did. All right? So she showed up to school the first day wearing those shorts. I guess they obviously allowed her to get into school that way. That day, 35 girls came up to her and says, where did you get them shorts? I want a pair of those shorts. She said, well, I made them. Well, can you make me a pair? The next day, it was 25 girls. The next day after that, another 20 to 30 girls. Okay. So the first weekend, all right, what is she doing? She's making all these pairs of shorts. Okay. All right. Well, when the girls got the shorts, all right, within the next few days or weeks, then they started wearing, taking photos, putting on social media. Within 30 days, okay, my daughter was getting requests from 25 nations in 40 states. So she became like a local, you know. So newspapers, you know, were... So she was tithing on everything. She was, you know, but her phone was blowing up. She was a sophomore in high school, all right, and she'd just sit in class and you go, cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. I mean, she's getting like 100 orders a day. We had stores in New York, you know, that are calling her. I mean, it was crazy. We had models, well-known models that are saying, hey, we'll model those shorts, okay? Well, what began to happen is it went viral, okay? It went global, all right? And so all of a sudden, you know, my daughter, who has always kind of struggled in school learning, right? You know, didn't have the book knowledge. She's a very creative type of girl, all right? And then all the girls that were bullying her were like, wait a minute, you know, if Emily could do something like that, we could do something like that. I mean, TV shows were calling us. Okay, it got crazy. Well, my long and short of it is my daughter became Entrepreneur of the Year for the state of Virginia under 21. So, but it came about because of what? I heard the Lord say to me, getting a word from the Lord. And I believe that for each one of us, God has a word from the Lord for this new year, this new season. How many of y'all believe that? And the Lord constantly reminds me, he says, you know, Brian, he says, you're never going to be able to accomplish everything that I have for you without a greater dependence on the Holy Spirit. And I've realized as I go through life, all right, I can either go through life doing it my own way, or I can go through life doing it his way. I'd rather do things his way. All right. And I've also realized that when God wants to do bigger things in your life, okay, he requires small steps of obedience. About 9 years ago, the Lord changed our direction and told us, I have a new assignment for you, which is to reach the Muslim world. And my wife was like, okay, so how do we do that? I said, well, we'll find out, okay? And little did I know that how that was going to play out. We went with a team to Egypt and held meetings there. The first night in walked in like 8 ambassadors. The ambassador. Now we're in Egypt, and the president of Egypt knew that we were doing these meetings, so he invited leaders from around the world to come to our meeting. So in walked in the ambassador to Saudi Arabia, the ambassador to Kuwait, the ambassador to Qatar, the ambassador to Libya, the ambassador to Malaysia, United Arab Emirates, all. So, and then they had their whole entourage of Secret Service, you know. I mean, it, and we're going, what in the world is going on, okay? And so the meeting was held. I mean, it was, we had great worship and great ministry. And before the service was over, these ambassadors came up to our team and said, you have an open invitation to Saudi Arabia. You have an open invitation to Qatar. You have an open invitation to Yemen. And we're like, whoa. And they said, we like what we see. And so why did they come? They came to see what a Christian service would look like in a Muslim country. And they were invited by the president. And we're like, whoa, that's amazing, okay, to have that. And so so when I came back to the States, I got this phone call from this man in Egypt. Now, he was not in the meetings, but he heard about it. And he said, listen, I'm coming to the United States. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. Can I meet with you? I said, yeah, sure. I can meet you. And he says, okay, well, how about if I send you my resume and my itinerary? I said, sure, yeah, it'll be fine. So I looked at his resume and I was like, wow, this man's a member of the Egyptian parliament. Okay. And then I looked at his itinerary and he was meeting with different senators, different ambassadors here in the States, okay, over a couple of days. Well, I'm looking at his itinerary, and all of a sudden, I heard the word of the Lord say to me, see this meeting that's scheduled on this day at this time? You're supposed to be in that meeting. And I'm thinking, but I'm not invited to that meeting. I called Dale. Dale, do you know anybody in Washington, D.C.? You know, I called this person, that person, all right? And it was a dead end. And then I kept saying, okay, Lord, are you sure? Yeah. I heard the word of the Lord. He said to me, you're supposed to be in that meeting. I said, okay, then, Lord, you'll make a way. He says, yeah, and the way is this. Call the Egyptian guy up and ask him if you can be his guest. Yes, what a great idea, Lord. I call him up, all right, hey, you're coming in, can I be your guest for this particular, yes you can. So we're in this meeting, and it's all senators, all ambassadors, congresspeople, okay, and they're having this discussion, this report on what's happening around the world with human rights and religious freedom, okay. And people are standing up, okay, giving a report. This is what's happening in China. Another person says this is what's happening in India. Another, this is what's happening in Europe. You know. And so they all gave their reports, and then the meeting ended. Well, I'm sitting here, and I heard the word of the Lord say to me, go up to them and introduce yourself. Tell them what you have seen happening in the Middle East. So I came up to some of them. I said, you don't know me. I don't have... You know, I'm not a government. I'm not, hey, I'm just a messenger. But nobody talked about the Muslims in this meeting. Nobody talked about the Middle East. Is there a reason why? Well, they looked at me. They're like, well, yeah, this is, you're talking about Muslims. I said, yeah, yeah, I'm talking about Muslims. I said, well, I just returned from Egypt. And I can tell you there's an opening, there's an awakening that's happening in that part of the world. They're like, what are you talking about? And they're trying to look and see if I had a badge or... I'm like, look, I get it, okay? I'm not a government person. I'm a missionary. But I have eyes on the ground, okay? And all I can say is, this is the response that I got, our team got, okay? All right. And I think that you might be surprised to know all these things. All right. And I know it seems unbelievable, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, it's kind of unbelievable. Yeah. Wait, what's your name again? Where did you come from? And so I said, look, okay, I know it seems crazy, but I just know that I was supposed to share that with you. So anybody want to call me? They were like, no, not really. I said, I have another friend who's a missionary. He can tell you more. Y'all interested? It's okay. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you my card anyway. And I left. I thought, okay, I did what the Lord told me to do. So for the next couple of months, I called them, but they never called me. Didn't hear a thing. Crickets for 5 months. I said, okay. I did what I felt like the Lord told me to do. You know what's interesting? In the Hebrew, there's a word called Shema. It means hear, and also it means obey. The same word for obey as it is to hear. And the word literally means this. It means to hear with the intention to obey. That's why when you read in the Old Testament, if you will hear these things of mine and obey them or do them, okay? And so I thought, well, that's a conversation. That's it, whatever. I mean, I just, tempted to obey. So 5 months go by, and then all of a sudden I get an email. Can you be in a Zoom meeting? We want to speak to you. We want you and your friend to share with us what's happening in the Middle East. What you see happening. So we got on that Zoom meeting, and we shared with them. Okay, this is what we saw. This is what's happening. They're like, interesting. Okay, all right. Well, no further questions. All right. So the Zoom call ended. 2 weeks later, another email. Can you be on another Zoom call, you and your friend? Sure. So we get on that Zoom call, and they introduce us to the members of the Trump administration. I'm looking at the Trump administration, and I'm like, what in the world is this? And the leaders there said, well, we've heard what you have shared with these senators, congresspeople. So we're asking the two of you to do something for us. President Trump wants to have a business plan between the Muslim countries in America. So would the two of you write the business plan? I'm like, what did you just say? Would the two of you write a business plan beginning with Egypt and Saudi Arabia? In that business plan will be this, that the United States will promise those countries economic prosperity through business contracts, business agreements. They'll become very prosperous, okay? Only if they're willing to change their laws regarding human rights and religious freedom and allow Christianity to have the same rights as Islam. I said, oh my gosh, this is a game changer for the gospel. Okay. All right. And so we set out to do that. All right. And so I know our time is kind of shrinking here, but I could share so much more. Just some of the things that God has done in my own life, where it came about because the word of the Lord came to me saying, you know, and that is what changed the direction, changed the trajectory, all right, put me into places I never thought I would ever be. You know, and done things in my life that I never even imagined could be done. I mean, I'll just share another quickie with you.